Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalayim Megillah Daf Yud. We are starting Tess on the base about four lines up for the bottom with the words Amar of Mana. And today's office sponsor Leila Nishmas Mars Mem Sar Bas Biyakam Maisha Hernish Amal should have an Aliyah. Now we were right in the middle of the sugya. The Mishnah had said Ein Bein Yom Kippurim L Shabbos Elason and so forth. In other words, Yom Kippur and Shabbos are basically similar, and the Gemara had explained that they do have the same din regarding Tashlumin, and this refers to the din of Kamli B'Drab Minei. For example, if Reuven lit Shimon's pile on fire on Shabbos, so he's Chayv Misa Mida Ayraisa for lighting it on fire, but he's also Chayv Tashlumin because it belongs to Shimon, and Kamli B'Drab Minei tells us that he only gets the more chamor of the two punishments, which would be Misa. And both Rav Chaim ben Akana and Rav Shimon ben Asya, although giving different reasons, agree that Kares patters from Tashlumin as well. The Gemara then asks the question, what about Kares and Malkus? And the answer was suggested, but the Gemara continues discussing this. Amar of Manu Kumi Rav Yosi, Rav Manu said in front of Rav Yosi, Matzrichale, in regards to whose Shita, is this even a question? Then we have Kares and Malkus. Is a person patter from Malkus? Kirib Shimon ben Lakish. It's only a question Shita Shrish Lakish. Bram Kirib Yechon, Rav Kont Rav Yechonon, in Malkus, Eitel Misa Yashloi, since he holds, as we're going to see in a moment, that even when there's a chi of Misa, which is the most chomer, still a person can get Malkus, like Kalshkin Malkus Esel Kares. Wouldn't we say for sure that a person could get Malkus, even when there's Isra Kares being discussed? So it must be this is only a question Shita Shrish Lakish. Now we talk about what the Machlaikis or Bechon Shrish Lakish is, Yudal Ma'alfa on top, this Balkan, they argue, Hashaykh Isab has been oil, Lashem Avay Dezara. Let's say a person shechts it and its son with intention that's for Avay Dezara. Now this is a lav beferish in the Torah that tells us, Isab has been oil, Lois Shatubia Mechad, don't take a mother animal and its child and shech them on the same exact day. If one does do so, he'd be Chayv Malkus, and this person shechted Isab has been oil for Avay Dezara, which he would be Chayv Misa for. So Bechon says, Im Hisruba Lashem Isab has been oil, like, if the Edom had warned him, don't shech these animals, because that's Isab Isab has been oil, then he's going to get Malkus for that. Whereas Lashem Avay Dezara, if they warned him for Avay Dezara, Niskals, and he's going to get Skila. As we see that even though we're dealing with something that has a potential for Skila, nonetheless, if they warned him for Malkus, he's going to get Malkus. So for sure, when we're dealing with Kares and Malkus, Rabbi Yechon would say he gets Malkus. However, Rav Shimon Lakshamer, he tells us, Afilu Hisru by Lashem Oisev as Benoi, Eino like it, even if they warned him, don't do this, because the Isra of Oisev as Benoi, he's still not going to get Malkus. Why is that? Me'achar Shahisru by Lashem Avoid Zara Niskal. That's because if they warned him for Avoid Zara, he would get Skila. So Mela, even though they didn't warn him for Avoid Zara, it's still considered a lav Hanitan as Haras Mises Bezdin. We mentioned this concept yesterday. It's a lav, which a person could technically get Mises Bezdin for, and therefore he's not going to get Malkus, even though that's what they warned him for. And therefore we see clearly that the whole question regarding Kares pattering for Malkus, that would only be in Shitas Rish Lakish, not Rabbi Yechanan. However, Amar Lehi told him, not so quick, Afilu Kreb Yechanan Srichale, this would even be a question of Rabbi Yechanan. Why is it? Because Taman over there, L'shnei Dvarim, the case of Oisav Es Benoi is two totally separate things. There's a lav of Oisav Es Benoi, and there's a lav of Oidazara. But V'hachal Davar Echad, over here we're asking in regards to one thing. If a person's ever lav B'shagig, that he would technically get Malkus for, that if he would have done it B'mezid, he would get Kares, do we say that he gets Malkus or no? Maybe because since he could have gotten Kares, he doesn't get Malkus at all. As we see, the question could be even in Shitas Rabbi Yechanan. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss something similar. We have a Mishnah Maseches Makas that brings a Machloikes Rabban Rav Meir regarding if a person is Chayv Malkus, does he also have to pay money? Very similar to this previous discussion, just now with different variables. Malkus and Mamain, is he Pater from Mamain because of the Malkus? The Rabbanan say that he is Pater, Rav Meir says that he's not. Now we have the same Machloikes Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish in this Shita as well. According to the Rabbanan, that if a person's Chayv Malkus, he's Pater from Mamanis, what about if he's not actually Chayv the Malkus, but technically he could have been Chayv the Malkus? Would he still be Pater from Mamanus over there? Rabbi Yochanan says that no, he's not going to be Pater because since he's not getting Malkus, he could be Chayv the Mamanus. Rish Lakish holds the same Shita that since he technically could have gotten Malkus, so even though he's not going to, he still doesn't have to pay anything. So now the Gemara asks, Al Dati Rav Shimon Lakish, according to Rish Lakish, Ma Ben Ilan Tanoil Ilan Rabbanon. What's the difference between these Tanoim and the Rabbanon? What does that mean? So as we said before, both Rav Chanan ben Akana and Shimon Manasseh agree that Kares Pater from Tashlumin. And we also know that the Rabbanon hold that any Isser, which one would be Chayv Kares for, would also be Mechayv the person Malkus, and as we just said in this Mishnah, they hold that a chi of Malkus patras from Tashlumin, which in essence means that a chi of Kares patras from Tashlumin. So are they abundant different than Ruchon Menachon Roshim Menasya? The Gemara answers lavim like Krisus, if we're talking about a lav that doesn't have an Isser Kares with it. For example, Yudin Amar, he says, Habal Mamzeres is Benehain, if someone's Bailam Mamzeres, that would be a Nafkamina, meaning he's Bailam Mamzeres, who is a Nara. And I remember we mentioned in the previous Amud that there's a chi of Tashlumin for being Bailam Nara. We know there's a chi of Malkus for being Bailam Mamzeres, so that would be one Nafkamina. We'll explain this in just a moment. And Rukhanani Amar, he gives another one, Afamatzis Gedisha Shechaver B'Yomtev B'Nehain, even if a person lights his friend's pile on fire on Yomtev, lighting the pile on fire is a Chi of Mamanes, doing so on Yomtev is a Chi of Malkus. So we have another example of Malkus and Mamain without Kares, and to hear the Gemara speaks it out. Al Daitin to Ilan Tanayo, according to those Tanayim, Min Rukhan Benakan Roshim Menasio, Hoyal V'en Ben Kares, since there's no Isser Kares being dealt with over here, Mishalim, so they have to pay the Mamanes. Whereas Al Daitin Dilar Abanon, according to Rabbanon, Hoyal V'yash Behen Malkus, since this is a situation of Malkus and Mishalim, so the person does not pay. Now, once we're on this topic, we ask another question. Me'atav, this is really so. Eilu Nas Sheshlam Kenas, Loi Karabanon. There's a Mishnah Ksubis that tells us the following women women do deserve a knas if someone is bayal them, that Mishnah must not be like the Rabbanon, because that Mishnah says beferush that if a person is bayal a nara who's mamzeres, he does have to pay, and we just said that according to Rabbanon, he doesn't have to pay. So it's mashmir that Mishnah is not like the Rabbanon. However, Amar Rav Tanya answers that no, Tifter, we could explain the divrei hakol, it really is according to everybody, as referring to a specific case, b'mamzer shabal mamzeres, regarding a mamzer who is bayal a mamzeres, who is a nara, and in that case, there is no chi of malchus for mamzer who is bayal a mamzeres. It's only if a regular yid who's not a mamzer, he's not allowed to be bayal a mamzeres, but if a mamzer is bayal a mamzeres, there's no lav, so there's no malchus, and therefore there's only a chiv tashlumen because of the fact that she was a naira. So everyone, even the Rabbanon, would agree that there has to be a payment there. Now, once we're on the topic of this Mishnah Ksubas, we continue asking on another one of those cases, which said that if a person is ma'anis, his brother's wife, then he has to pay kenas. So the question is, isn't his brother's wife his yivama? What does that mean, his yivama? So we know that we have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven dies without children, so Shimon has a chiv to marry Reuven's wife, that's called yibam. Shimon's the yavam, she's the yivama, and that's in order to be able to perpetuate his brother's name so that they could have children. Now, if Reuven already had children, not only is there no chiv of yibam, but actually there's an isur da'iraisa for him to marry his brother's wife, and of course, if Reuven hadn't died yet and he's still married, there most definitely is an isur da'iraisa of Shimon being with Reuven's wife, because again, Reuven's still currently married to her. So the Gemara now is asking, what situation could it possibly be that Shimon would be bayal Reuven's wife and he'd be chayv a knas? Maman of shach, either she's his yavama, so it's 100% mutter, it's actually mitzvah, or she's not his yavama and he'd be chayv misa. When is it this in-between situation that he would have to pay a knas? So Rav Matani, he answers, Tifter, we could explain, shahayu l'achiv banim, that his brother already had kids from a different marriage, then ve'eras isha, he got halachically engaged to this woman, umes, and then the brother died, and he didn't even fully marry this woman, and then uba achiv anasa, the brother, Shimon, came along and was ma'anis this woman. So over here, there's no chiv of yibum because Reuven already had children from a different wife. So it's in that situation, nibi chayv to pay a knas. Now to Halacha Zayin with another set of Ein Bains. Ein Bain hamudar hanami chaveri lemudar mimenu maichol, elo drisis haregel v'kelim she'ein oisin behen oichol nefesh. There's no difference between a person who made a neder that he's not going to have any benefit from his friend versus if he made a neder that he's not going to have any food benefit from his friend, except for these two things. Drisis haregel, which is walking, meaning walking through his property or into his house, and kelim, utensils or vessels that don't have anything to do with food. For example, a lawnmower. If Reuven had made a neder that he's not going to have any benefit from Shimon, so he's not allowed to even walk into his house or borrow his lawnmower. But if he made a benefit regarding Michael, so then he is allowed to walk into his house or borrow his lawnmower because that has nothing to do with food. You know, based on top of the Mishnah continues, Ein bein nedarim l'nedavos, ela shenedarim meisoi nignavu chayav b'achriyusan, nedavos meisoi nignavu ein chayav b'achriyusan. There's a difference between if a person vows or donates to give a carbon, it's all the same, except that if a person made a neder, so then the animal which he designated to be his carbon, if it died or got stolen, he's responsible to replace it. Whereas if he made a nedava, so the animal that he designated to be his carbon, if it died or stolen, he doesn't have to replace it. And we'll explain in the Gemara why that is. So it begins by asking on the first part of the Mishnah. It's mashma, hadavar sha'oisin ba'echal nefesh, usur. If it's a food-related utensil, so then it's usur, and he's not allowed to borrow it from him if he made a neder of echal nefesh. But the problem is, lo mi machal nadar, didn't he make a neder of food? When the Mishnah says, mudar mimenu machal, we understand that means that Reuven said, I am not going to have any food from Shimon. So why should it be usur to borrow a kli that has to do with food? It's not food itself. So now we have a different understanding of the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Lok Shamar, he explains, Kein Masisa, this is really what the Mishnah is saying, Ein Bein Hamudar Hanoy Mechaveroi, Lemudar Hanoyas Maichol Mechaveroi. There's no difference between a person who made a neder that he's not going to have any benefit from his friend versus a person who made a neder that he's not going to have food-related benefit from his friend. And here it's different. It's not that he said, I'm not going to have food. He said, I'm not going to have food-related benefit, something that has to do with food. And therefore, a food-related kli would be usur for him to borrow. Only a non-food-related kli would be okay. And with the base Rabbi Kane, we have a brass who's taught by Smash Rabbi like this. Hamudra Hanoyas Maichol Mechaveroi, if a person made such a neder from his friend, lo yashilenu nafu kvari chayim etanur. He's not to lend him or borrow from him a sieve, a sifter, a mill, or an oven, because these are directly food related. And Tani, we have Braisa, avol mashal hu like kaisais u ka'aris vitam chuyin, he could lend him cups, plates, or different dishes. She'enon mahan nesoichol, they don't give any specific benefit to the food itself. Avol machnisa nesoichol, they're just simply meant for putting the food in them. So that's a big difference. You can't lend a person who made such a neder either a mill or an oven, because that actually helps create and make the food, as opposed to a plate that doesn't make the food. You stick the food on a plate, but you don't have to. You can put it on the table or eat it with your hands, and so that's not considered a food-related benefit. More discussions. Lefasen ukedeiros, usur. Pans and pots, those are usur, because those make the food. Litchon velidroich, usur. Kelim that help grind or crush, those are also usur. What about the following, though? Liktzar tzricha, livtzar tzricha. What about a kli that's meant for harvesting or for picking? Is that mutter? On one hand, that does help with the food. However, it's a pretty distant benefit. For example, if you're going to borrow a sickle to harvest wheat, you still have to do a a lot to the wheat in order to be able to eat it, and so maybe it is permitted to lend such a thing. Another question, Hanoyas Macho Mahu. What about something that's going to give benefit to the food? What does that mean? So the Gemara attempts an answer. Tani, we have a Braisa, Avomash Eloi Hu Kurdum, that he could lend him an axe. And Havin Savrin Meimar, we understood to say, what does this mean? Bekurdum shall be kua. This is referring to an axe which chops wood, and the wood is meant for the fire, which is going to cook the food. So we see that Hanoyas Macho of this sort is permitted. However, says the Gemara, not a Raya Tifter, we're going to explain what this is referring to. Bekurdum shall nichosh. This is talking about an axe that's meant for digging. Obviously, it's not referring to an axe. It's some sort of shovel or hoe or something like that that's meant for either digging or plowing the field. And that's such a distant hana that's really not related to the food that would be permitted. And therefore, we don't learn anything from this brisa that says mash ilay hu kurdum. A similar discussion of Ravuna Amar. He said there Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abayi. Rabbi Yirmiyahu suggested hahein zusta. This zusta, which is a sash-like belt. It's not a belt made out of leather. Rather, it's a belt made like a sash, so it's woven strands. Mekimin shu marchik. Since you could pull it apart and make it wider, va'at chasher bekimcha, and now you could technically sift flour in it, because even though the sash is woven very tightly, if you expand it a little bit, it basically looks like a sieve, so it could be used for sifting flour. Kamishu nafa, that makes it like a sieve, and then it would be usher to lend. Now going to the second part of the Mishnah, where we have differentiated between nedarim and nedavos. The Gemara asks, ezu neder she'amru, what is this neder that they said in the Mishnah? The answer is, ba'aymer harei olai oila, this person said, I take upon myself to bring carbon oila. We'll explain this in just a moment. And ve'ezu nedavos she'amru, what's this nedava that they said? Ba'aymer harei zu oila, the person said, this is an oila. In other words, if a person takes upon themselves to bring a carbon, there's two different ways they can say it. They can either say, I take upon myself to bring a carbon oila. I'm going to do it. And then later on, they designate an animal that this is going to be the animal for my oila. Now that's called a neder. And as we said in the Mishnah, a person's chayv bachriyuson, he's responsible to replace the animal if it dies or gets stolen. And that's because the neder isn't on the animal, it's on him. He said, hare olai oila, I'm going to bring an oila. And whichever animal he subsequently designated, it might be the lucky one to be the carbon, but still the responsibility is on him, on the mensch, on the person, on the gavra, and therefore you'd have to replace it. However, when he says, hare zu oila, he's not taking responsibility on himself to bring an oila. He just looks at an animal and he says, this animal's an oila. If something happens to that animal, he doesn't have to replace it. Now, Rav Chama Chavrin Drabban Abayi, Rav Chama, the colleague of the Rabban, asks as follows, Amar Hare Alai, V'chazar V'amar Hare Zeh. Let's say a person first said Hare Alai, and then he pointed to an animal and he said, Hare Zeh, that this is the fulfillment of my nether, which I said Hare Alai, is going to be over two. What does that mean? Is it going to be over two? So this refers to the lav of Baal Ta'acher. The Torah says, if you made a nether, do not delay in bringing it. And the general idea of delaying and bringing it is three Yomim Tovim, that if three Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot has passed by, and he still has not fulfilled his nether, he hasn't brought an animal to the base of Mikdash as a carbon, so then he's over this lav of Baal Ta'acher. So the question is, what about in this situation where he used both Lashinus? First he said, Hare Alai, and then he said, Hare Zu. If he doesn't end up bringing it in time, is he over Baal Ta'acher twice, one for the Hare Alai and one for the Hare Zu, even though it's really just on one animal? So Rav Chinna suggested that Loi Mistabra Dida, it's really supposed to be Loi Mistabra Dila. It would be only logical to say that in the following case, which is basically the flip side. Amar, if the person first said, Hare Zeh, pointing to an animal saying that this is an oila, V'chaz of Amar Hare Alai, and then he said, I take upon myself to bring a carbon oila, and said it's going to be this animal. So then we could technically say that he chayev a double Baal Ta'acher if he doesn't bring it in time. And why is that? Because Isser Chamer Chal al Isser Kal. A more strict Isser is able to rest and take place on a lighter Isser. But Ein Isser Kal Chal al Isser Chamer. A lighter Isser can't be Chal on a heavier Isser. Therefore, when the person says, Hare Zeh oila, that's lighter, because we say he's not responsible for it. So then when he expresses, Hare Alai oila, that's a more Chamer Isser. So Chamer Isser is able to rest on top of a lighter Isser, so technically he'd be chai for both of them, as opposed to the way that it was originally suggested, that he first said Hare Alai, which is more Chamer, and then he said Hare Zu, that's more Kal. The Kal is not able to take place on the Chamer. In that situation, he for sure would not be chai double. We're going to stop here for the day, and pick up tomorrow with Halacha Ches, with more Ein Beins, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.